Well, turn in your Bibles to James chapter 3. Let's just start at James. James chapter 3. We're going to think about temptation. That's our study, and you got that apple up there. And I don't know why we think of that, but when we think of temptation, it always sounds bad, doesn't it? The idea of the pull to do wrong, to disobey God, our lives are filled with temptations as we go through life. We live in a fallen world. I mean, where do these temptations come from? How do we deal with them? You know, I talk to some people and they say, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. I mean, so for them, all temptation comes from the devil. But where does temptation come from? In the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at some detail. Well, maybe more than a couple of weeks. It's going to take us a little bit to go through this. We're going to look at the subject of temptation. And the emphasis, we'll emphasize, how do we deal with this in our lives? Our goal as believers is to be victorious. Think about 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory through Jesus Christ. And that particular passage in 1 Corinthians 15 is dealing with resurrection, but the idea is true. Through Jesus Christ, we have victory in the Christian life in every aspect. As we study God's word concerning temptation, the goal is to know and apply it so we can gain victory. You know, we spent the time on forgiveness. We spent a number of lessons on that. That was fun. Well, this one was, you know, when y'all put down what you'd like to study, there was basically a four-way tie. I mean, literally a four-way tie for the studies. And so we started with forgiveness and temptation in a second. We'll just look at this and see how this goes. We want to learn from this. Let's start with a prayer and then let's get into the study. Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Thank you for your grace to us, your mercy to us, your love. You're a God that is just beyond what we could ask or imagine. You deal with us in grace and mercy and love. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just ask you that as we study and we think about temptation, and we know that as we go through life, we're tempted. We're tempted all the time. And we just want to be able to see what the Bible has to say about it. How do we deal with it? What do we do? And all those kind of things. So, Lord, we just ask you now that in the next weeks that you would teach us, that we'd have a lot of fun, that we have interaction, that we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Teach us now, Lord. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. As always, just if you have a question, comment, input, you may do that. So that's what we want to do. Matthew 6 is one of the most famous prayers in the Bible. If you remember, it's the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus goes up there. And actually, three chapters deals with this. But in that, we often call the Lord's Prayer. It's not really the Lord's Prayer. It's actually the disciples' prayer because they said to Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he said, this is how you pray. So it's not the Lord's Prayer, although it's the prayer that the Lord gave to them. That's why some people have always called it that. They asked Jesus how to teach them how to pray. And he said, but in that prayer, it says, lead us not into temptation. Now, it can be interpreted several ways. The Greek word for temptation that in that passage can have the idea of a temptation or a trial. It's the same word. You could translate, Lord, don't take us into trials. Don't let us go into trials. You could say, Lord, don't take us into temptation. The book of James says that God does not tempt us to do wrong. So maybe if we translated, Lord, don't take us into temptation, what we're saying is, Lord, keep us from temptations. Protect us from the temptations of life. That could be what it's saying. As we think about the subject of temptation, we realize that temptation is this pull. Like, you know, if somebody said you're tempted to do what? To do wrong. We say that all the time. We're tempted to do wrong. That's what we think of temptation. We're pulled to do wrong, to sin. We have desires that are contrary to the Bible. As we go through our world, think about it, the campus, the town, TV, movies, there are always pulls to do wrongs. There's just about anything you do, there's going to be something wrong. Well, the subject of temptation is vital. Vital in our lives. We want to learn. We want to understand what the Bible has to say because these are things we face every day. Just like the whole issue of forgiveness. I mean, that's something we have to deal with all day long, all the time because we're always interacting with people and we need forgiveness with each other and that kind of thing. Well, the whole idea of temptation is there day in and day out. Now, how we finish our lives is very important because we could either be faithful or there could be failure. And of course, you got your little sheet there. It says, the Lord's Prayer leads us not into temptation. How we finish our lives is so important. Do we finish being what? Faithful? Or do we finish with failure? And you know, there's a lot of things. A lot of people have started out great, and they fail toward the end. There are people who started out, and they've done a lot of great things, and then something happens, and they fall. They fail. There have been a lot of people who are great pastors or teachers or leaders, and they fall. There's been all kind of things throughout history that people start good and finish weakly. They just don't make it. Prof. Hendricks always said that what you want to do is run that race with endurance, looking unto Jesus, and finish the fight, finish the course. Paul says in 2 Timothy, I've run the race, I've finished the course. That's what he says. I've finished the course. For it's pretty powerful. A lot depends on whether we're faithful or failure. A lot depends on how we handle what? Temptation. How many of you are tempted every day? How many have been tempted already this morning? Haven't you? Yeah. There are thoughts. There are things you see. There are things that people say. There are things you read. There are all kinds of things that tempt us day in and day out. All the time. So we've got to deal with this. Let me give you sort of an outline of the study. I haven't put it up here. And I might next week. I just wanted to tell you, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start by raising in our introduction two questions. What is temptation and is temptation sin? Then we're going to talk about where does temptation come from? And we're going to see three big areas, the devil, the world, the flesh. We're going to talk about a process. And you don't have to write all this down, okay, because we're going to get to it eventually. But we're going to talk about a process of temptation. We're going to see examples of temptation in the Scripture. And we're going to go to some places where people failed when they were tempted. And we're going to go where people succeeded. We'd all say, well, I hope we're the ones that you know, make it. There's some that fail, some that make it. And then we'll kind of end our study with how in the world do we deal with temptation. I've got what I call the promise and the provision. So there's some promises from God and the provisions from God. And so in the next weeks, we're going to go through those things. What's temptation? How to deal with it? Where does it come from? What's the process? Some examples, how to deal with it. Let me begin by giving you two stories that are true. Okay? I was in seminary. I had a hard class. For me, everything was hard. So I shouldn't say it that way. I should have said I was in one of my hard classes because everything was hard for me. But when I was in seminary, I had this hard class that I was studying as big exam. And I came to a question in the exam that I knew. I knew the answer. I couldn't remember how to get it started. I looked at it and it said this. And I'm looking down like this. And I'm going, what is it? What is it? And I looked up like this and I could see a friend of mine right there and I could see his paper. If I chose to, I could look. He's about the same place I was. I could see what he put down. And I could say to myself, I'm not cheating. Because see, if I just get the start, I know the answer. If I could just get started, right? Isn't that a temptation to basically cheat, right? I'll tell you another story. You want to hear what happened? No, I don't want to hear. I have to make good on that exam. Actually, I did not look. Okay, I want you to know that. Second, and y'all know this story. I've told it before. I was in the shopping center at Walmart, the old Walmart, when it was close up at, I can't remember what it's called, Cimarron, whatever that is now. And there used to be an ATM. There is an ATM machine there, but I don't use ATM machines, so I don't ever use it anymore. But I did use it then. And I told this story before, but I went in and I was going to get $40, and they give you in 20, so I was going to get two 20s. And when I put the thing in, it gave me four 20s because they were all stuck together. There was like two 20s together and two 20s. So I had $80 instead of $40. The receipt that came out showed $40. What could you do with that? You could say, well, listen, the receipt says how much? 40. I mean, it just so happened the machine gave me 80. Yeah. I knew it was 80 because I looked at it. I said, This doesn't even feel right. It felt a little, it didn't feel exactly right. And then you realize they're sticking together. So could you be tempted to say, look, I mean, whose money, who's it going to hurt anyway? Maybe God wanted me to have that extra money. You think I'll fly anywhere, anytime, any place? Nah, I don't never fly. So what did I do? I did. I went, most of you know the story. I went up to the bank the next day and gave them two 20s and said, the machine gave me double money. And she said, it did it all day long, and you're the only person so far that's come. We found out that it was giving it out double all day long. Now, I don't know how many people that actually got it, but and it may not have been very many, but I just didn't feel like, I was, you know, we could all be tempted to say, well, aren't there things that we're tempted to do every day that in one sense we might say, well, this is not wrong. You know, it's that little shade thing that you think, I mean, everybody's doing that. I mean, So there are real temptations in our lives every day. How do we deal with all this? Well, let's begin by looking at temptation, define it, and think about it. The first question is, what exactly is temptation? I mean, what is it? Well, literally, it's the pull to do wrong. It is the pull to do wrong. It's that pull within us. It's that temptation that is to go to follow our own desire, to follow something that we want to do, to follow something rather than basically what the Scripture says. Because, see, if you're pulled to do something that's not wrong, that's not what? Not really temptation in a sense. I mean, when we're defining temptation, we're defining it as the pull to do wrong. Simply put, that's what it is. It could be to lust, to cheat, to lie, to lie on your income tax. Hey, how many of you could say, hey, the government has really messed over me, and I'm not putting everything down there because this is my money anyway, and they don't have any right to have any of my money anyway, right? Can you say that? Could you justify something? Are you tempted to say, I'm not putting everything down there? None of their business, right? Isn't that how we think sometimes? Aren't we tempted to do that? Are we tempted not to tell the truth? What if you're working in an office and your boss comes in and says, I want you to call the Johnsons for me, okay, and ask them about that thing we're working on. You don't call them. Boss comes back an hour and says, what did the Johnsons say? And you said, oh, I hadn't got them yet. I mean, I tried to call them, but they weren't.
They didn't answer.
Yeah, you just lied. You don't want to say, I hadn't called yet. So you're tempted to say, I hadn't got him. Is that a lie? I hadn't got him? Hadn't got him yet. Hadn't talked to him yet. Your implication is, I've tried to call him, but I just hadn't got him yet. But the truth is, you hadn't called him. I mean, we're tempted to make ourselves look as good as we can. We don't want to look like a jerk because we might get fired. When I was a kid, I had a friend that asked me to work in a concession stand with him. I was like 12 years old, and it was at a baseball park, and it was like high school baseball going on behind us. And he said, my daddy works in the concession stand, and you want to work in the concession stand? You can, because we get free hot dogs. I said, I'm for that. So I remember working in the concession stand, and this is one of the first times in my life I ever realized this. People would come up, and they'd buy, and you'd take their money and give money back. And I remember that two of us were doing two things together. He got a hot dog. He got the hot dog for the guy, and the guy gave me the money. And what I didn't realize is I was getting his change. My friend thought that, and he got the change and gave the guy the change. And so I turned back around, and I gave him the change, and that man took that change and went, just walked right on away. And I thought to myself, that guy just took, he got double stuff. He got our money. And he was smiling when he did it. And I remember thinking, that guy just stole money. You ever been tempted to, if you get too much change sometime? Or the bill comes at the restaurant and they forgot to put something on there, like their coffee, or maybe they forgot to put one of the meals on there. You know, there's like six or seven of you eating and they left something off. Aren't you tempted, just sometimes tempted to say, ah, oh, it's just the bill, who cares? Right? There are many ways we could be tempted to do wrong. In fact, it's the natural thing, isn't it? Aren't we naturally bent to do what? Just to do wrong. We're naturally bent to sin. It's called the flesh. I mean, if we just do what's natural, what are we going to do? We're going to do wrong. That's how we are. We never have to teach anybody to do wrong. We have to teach everybody to do right. So here's the first question is, what is temptation? It's the pull to do wrong. Second question, is temptation sin? Is the pull to do wrong the same as doing wrong? Is the temptation to lust the same as lusting? Is the temptation to take money that doesn't belong to you the same as taking the money that doesn't belong to you? Is the temptation to look on somebody else's paper the same as looking on somebody else's paper? I mean, what is it? Well, just because we desire to do something that's wrong, have we done wrong? Well, the answer is, good news, no. Should be up there. I don't know. Yeah, there it is. Good news. Temptation's not sin. To be tempted to sin is not the same as sin. It may lead to sin. We may respond to temptation. And the bottom line is, how we respond to temptation is going to determine whether it's sin or not. If you're tempted to look on a paper at a test, you look and you go, oh my gosh, there it is, and there's the answer. That's what I need. You're tempted. Have you sinned? Now, you could do this. You sinned. You could say, I'm not looking over there. I mean, I want to look over there. I'm tempted to look over there, but I'm not looking over there. That's not sin. Do you remember Hebrews 4:15? Jesus was tempted in all points, yet without what? Sin. So to be tempted is not sin, because Jesus was tempted in every aspect. Tempted even beyond what we could be tempted, because whenever we're tempted, at a certain level we'll fail. But since Jesus Christ can't sin, he was tempted to the very fullest because he can't sin. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. Temptation is not sin, but it is the response of how we respond to the temptation. Now, we're going to see there's a progression. We'll see it a little bit later in the study and how it hits us and how we see something and how we want something and then all those kind of things. So it's powerful. Whenever we are tempted, and we can either respond with victory or sin, and then sin results in death. We come in the world spiritually dead. We trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. We're spiritually alive. As a believer who is spiritually alive, you can sin and die. It's a fellowship death. You're separated from God in your fellowship. It has nothing to do with your eternal destiny. It doesn't mean you're spiritually dead. You're still spiritually alive, but the Bible says that you die. It's found in Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8. You die because you are spiritually, you are separated in a temporal way from God in a fellowship way. And what you have to do is confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. You're back into fellowship. You go back alive again. So that's some powerful stuff there. Now, let's raise the next question. Where does temptation come from? Well, the bottom line, it's a complex question, really. I mean, a complex answer, because there's a lot of things there. We've talked about it before. There's three big areas. It's the devil, the world system, and our flesh. That's really where it comes from. We're tempted in those areas. We're influenced. We might put it that way. Influencing our temptation is the devil, the world system, and the flesh. Let's think about those for just a second. The devil, we spent the whole study on angels, right? You remember? And the devil and demons and all that stuff. And he's a real angel and he's an adversary and he's against us. And he's like a roaring lion. And then we think about the world system, which is a fallen system controlled by the devil. We live in a fallen world. You remember what I said? If you're not consciously being transformed by the word, you will unconsciously be what? Conformed by the world. It is out there pushing you and pulling you and changing you and shaping you. The word conformed means like a mold. It's shaping us to be like them. And some people say things like this: I'm not being shaped by the world. And I say, it's so unconscious you don't even realize you are being shaped by the world. That's what's tough. And then there's the flesh, which is the pull inside of us to do wrong. And we know that it's there. It's a natural bent. We've talked about it before. There's other things we'll get in when we look at it. But the three big areas are the devil, the world system, and the flesh. Look at James. I've got that next. James 3:15. Look what this says. He's talking about wisdom. And he says there's a wisdom from God and there's a wisdom of this world. And notice what he says about this wisdom. Verse 15. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. That's God's wisdom. But it is, notice, earthly, natural, and demonic. Earthly is the world. Natural is the flesh. Demonic is the devil. That's the big three. Not from above, but from below. Now, I've got for you, on your handout, where we listed, let me see, three big areas. And then we got the details starting on that top of that next page. We're going to look at the devil just a little bit. We're going to look at the world system. We're going to look at the flesh. And we're going to spend, I think when we look at this study, most of the things you're going to find go back to the flesh. Because what happens is this: you live in a world system controlled by the devil, which affects your what? Flesh. That's where it all comes from. Let's talk about the devil. Has the first bell rang? It has. Okay, so we don't have very long. Let's do this. Let's talk about the devil for just a second. We spent a good bit of time on this being. We know who he is. We did a whole study on angels that lasted for a long time, and there was a lot there. Realize the word of God, this devil is a cherub. He's an angel. He guarded the throne of God. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28 are those passages that talk about who he is and his fall. He was lifted up in pride. He wanted wanted to be like God, and God removed him. His plan, bottom line, is to get mankind not to follow or obey God. That's what his plan is. He's like a roaring lion. I think the next slide puts the roaring lion. Yeah, 1 Peter 5:8. He's like a roaring lion seeking who he has devoured. The bottom line is he does not want you. He would love for mankind to move away from God. I mean, it started, what? Didn't he go in the garden and do it? I mean, that was his plan, wasn't it? I mean, he got the very first ones. You know, and his plan now would be that you would never, if as unbelievers, remember we talked about this, unbelievers, his plan is they would never trust Christ. For believers, his plan is that they do not serve Christ. That's the plan. And so in Genesis chapter 3, we saw in the garden, he is a liar, he's an accuser of the brethren. We go back to Genesis chapter 3, remember what his plan was? And if you remember, he wanted her to doubt God's love and doubt God's word. And he wanted her to doubt that God loved him. If God loved him, if God really loved you, he'd let you eat from the fruit. God's word is that you will not surely die if you eat that. God's lying to you. And that's what he wants us to do today. He wants us to doubt God's love. Does God love you with an everlasting, unconditional love? If you serve God, will he love you more than he loves you now? If you don't serve God, will he love you less than he loves you now? No. What most people do not grasp is they're thinking it's like human beings, that if we don't do right, God's going to go, good gracious, I've told you over and over and over and over and over again. Listen, I've had it. You're not on the A list anymore. You're on the B list. That's what most people think God's doing. He's up there and he's mad at you and he doesn't love you. And he says, if you don't straighten up, things are going to change around here. What he says is, I'll never change my love for you. Never. And so he wanted us to doubt God's love. He wants us to doubt God's word. We talked about it this morning in the first service about so many people don't hold the Bible at all. And that's what they do. They doubt God's word. They don't believe it. They don't believe that it's right. They don't believe that it's true. We went over the passages about the role of women in the church. Remember in 1 Timothy chapter 3? And we talked about that. There were people, not necessarily in our church, but there are people who'd say, you can't say that. What do you mean I can't? The Bible says that. I'm not the one saying it. The Bible's the one saying it. Well, that's not right. That's just cultural. See, because people don't want to take the Bible for what it is. They want people to say that the Bible is not for today. It's a good book. There's a lot of things in there maybe you could look at, but it's outdated. That's what he wants you to think. All the money principles, the giving principles, the relationship principles, the church principles, all of those never change. What's written in the Bible is alive and powerful and is right for today just like it was the time it was written. So Satan wants us to doubt that. It's really powerful. Ryrie states in his book, Basic Theology, his plan is to get people to follow the pulls of society, to conform to the lifestyle of the world, and to commit immorality. That's what he wants you to do, is to be an immoral person. That's what he wants. So there's a lot of things there. Well, listen, I think the bell rang again. Is that right? Okay, we'll stop there. We just got started. So we've seen what temptation is. It's the pull to do wrong. Is temptation sin? No. Where does it come from? It comes from the devil, the world, and the flesh. And we start a little bit on the devil to talk about him. We'll go into the world and the flesh. And when we get into the flesh, we're going to start getting a lot more details. And then we'll get into the process. And there's a lot of great things. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great study. Help us, Lord, because we know that we are tempted every day. We want to have victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to have the victory. We want to live in such a way that you get honor and you get glory and your name is lifted up and praised, and that we finish strong. We run the race. We finish the course. We make it, Lord. We fight the good fight, and we can hear you say, well done. So use us, Lord, for your glory. Help us as we study this. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.